And good morning again. Greetings in the name of Christ. I welcome also those who are on Facebook and listening to the radio. Wish that you could be here. It's really a beautiful day in the fall. It's good to be alive and in Tennessee and to be in Sandy Point Church among you. I'm glad that you are here. And I'm happy to be here. You know, this is a good place for me. I like to visit it often. I really do. But you are the body of Christ. When you're gone, I may visit here and it's just a building. Oh, it has lots of memories and the building is a special place. It's a place where we meet with God. Amen. Preached a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night that God promised the children of Israel that He would meet them above the mercy seat between the cherubims outstretched. And God said, I will meet with you there. And later He told Moses, I will meet with you at the door of the tabernacle of testimony. Jesus has promised that He would walk among us, and where two or three were gathered, that He would be in our midst. In Revelation, He said, I am He that walketh among the golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches. So this is a meeting place. We might say, well, we met with our friends. That's fellowship, and that's good for encouragement. But the most important meeting is that God's people come together and meet with God. Isn't that awesome? That God has promised to be here today in the person of the Holy Spirit to meet with His people. What a privilege we have that we're able to be here today and to meet with God. I hope that just a little of this can go through the radio and the Facebook, and those who are unable to be here could also experience the blessings of God's presence. Reading from the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Before Moses died, you know, he went up on Mount Pisgah and he died. Got to see the promised land, but didn't get to go in. But before he was to die, he gave a blessing unto God's people by tribes, and he blessed each one of them. And as he closes out this blessing, he says something very important. I think it's very relevant to us today as Christians. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, I'm going to just read the blessing of Asher. I'm not going to read all the 12 blessings to the tribes. That'd be a while. But the one to Asher, and then the closing remarks to all the tribes, and still to us today. Verse 24, and of Asher, he saith, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, let him dip his foot in oil. There was a man who was convinced a few years ago that if he could actually find the territory that was Asher's inheritance, that he would go there and drill and find oil. Out of this verse here. I don't think that worked out. It's not what he's talking about. Verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and thy days shall also thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in His excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemies from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down as dew. And then, after the blessing to the 12 tribes, a blessing to all God's people. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help? And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Reminding Israel, after these 12 blessings, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. People often ask us, how are you? How are you doing? We say that here, don't we? We greet, it's just the way we greet people. How are you? Fine, thank you for asking. Well, thank you for asking. Those are pretty good responses. Quite well, thank you for asking. But among God's people, you know, our response needs to be, how are you? Happy and saved. Happy and saved. You think about that. We ought to be the happiest people alive today. It doesn't mean that everything goes our way. It doesn't mean that everything we want, we get. It doesn't mean we don't have some tribulations and trials. But we should be the happiest people on this earth because we are saved. Happy and saved. Lord, bless your people today. Help us, dear Lord, to be happy because the foundation of our happiness is found in thy salvation. We can be a happy people in the midst of tribulation because we are saved, dear Lord. I pray that if we have lost our joy and happiness, that today you might restore that joy and happiness into our souls as we reflect upon why we can be happy. It's because we're saved. And if we're not saved today, Lord, there is no lasting happiness. I pray that we would come to know you in faith and repentance today, and then we could have something to be real to make us happy about. Pray for the sick and the afflicted of our church, to the homebound, to those who are struggling, those who are troubled. Lord, we pray for our country. Have mercy upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am happy and saved. I am happy because I am saved. This is a reminder in the Old Testament to God's people that God's people should be happy. Now, they weren't always. Israel is just a chain of events over and over again. God's deliverance, they're happy for the moment, and then they want more. They struggle to learn to maintain their happiness because of the Lord's faithfulness. You know, we're not genuinely happy because of circumstances. You know, we always want more. More. When Jesus, the people were following him, they wanted more and more. More miracles. Show us a sign. You know, the feeding the multitudes, the healing the blind, the calling the dead to life. All of these things were encouraging, you know, to see those things. And they said, we would see a sign. Make us happy again. They were happy. And when Jesus said, an adulterous and evil generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no more signs be given except that of Jonah. For he was 3 days and nights in the whale. So shall the Son of Man be in the earth. And when he began to say hard sayings, they said, these are hard sayings. Who can understand? We don't know what you're talking about. Who can hear these sayings? And it says what? Many went away and followed him no more because their happiness was based upon circumstances of what they could get and see there and then. They never discovered the deeper spiritual truths that Jesus came to teach. And it's a shame that a lot of Christians have not either, and that our happiness depends upon present circumstances. That's Israel's issue. We're happy. We're able to sing the song of Moses and victory when we march through the Red Sea. The next morning they saw all the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. Those soldiers, some of that armory and all that stuff, the wreckage, the carnage of that. What God had done for them, delivered them. And Moses said, "They'll trouble you no more. This enemy is erased." That doesn't mean you're going to have some more problems, but these Egyptians will trouble you no more. And it says they sung the victory song, the song of Moses, and they rejoiced and they praised God. They were happy until they got thirsty, until they got hungry, and then it's a chain of events, more and more. And Moses, you know, the great intercessor, has to intercede with God. Patience at times running thin, and over he pleads with these people. "Well, we're not happy anymore. We had melons and cucumbers and fish and all this good food in Egypt. We've bled out here into the wilderness and we're going to starve to death. We can't find water." God gives them manna, water from the rock, quail to eat for meat when they whine, and they could not be satisfied. Couldn't be. You know, it just wasn't enough. And as human beings, we're like that. You can't do enough for people, you know, that to please them. Politicians keep trying, but you can't do enough to please the flesh. Just this one time more. "Lord, show us just one more miracle and we'll be satisfied." No, you won't. No, you won't. And Jesus drew a line in the sand and said, "The miracles are over with. From here on, it's going to be a test of your faith from here out." Happy and saved. We're a lot like Israel. Oh, we're happy that we're saved, but it's kind of be nice to have some more things go our way too, wouldn't it? You know, things, pleasures, things of this world, material possessions. I saw a piece the other day where one of the guys that went up in space and stayed that long time, they stayed up there, you know, for a long time, didn't know if it was going to get back, but he come back saying, as he just sat up there and viewed the universe and the earth and all the hustle and bustle of this earth, you know, people striving for wealth and riches and fame and trying to get everything. And he said, you know, all of that in the bigger picture don't matter. You know, those things that people are drawn to and live for in the bigger scheme of things doesn't matter. It's what the Bible teaches us, that we will leave it all behind. Elon Musk, Bill Gates, all of these billion and billionaires will not take $1 with them. They'll leave it behind. Happiness is not brought by a thing. It gives people temporary happiness. Sin does not bring lasting happiness. It brings pleasure, but what the Bible say? For a season. For a season. For the children of God, true happiness comes from the fact and the foundation that we are saved. You know what that means? That means that there is a lot of craziness going on in the world. You notice that? We are living in fulfillment of biblical last days. We believe that with the craziness going on and all this crazy every Sunday. I don't know where it'll happen today. There'll probably be a church shooting today. You know that? There is just about every Sunday. There's craziness going on in this world. But I'm going to tell you something. We can't fix all of that. And we cannot allow the craziness of this world to rob us of our happiness. We must remind ourselves, hey, I'm saying, I don't know what's going to happen in this world. I'm not a prognosticator. I can tell you what the Bible says about it. I don't know what's going to happen in this world and universe, except it's coming to an end when God says so. But I'm saved. I'm safe. That is something to be happy about. That is not based upon me. That's based upon God's faithfulness. God had intended for His people to be happy. And they can be if they will learn to rejoice in His salvation. And here He reminds the 12 tribes, oh, remember, you're God's people, you're blessed. Happy art thou, O Israel. God is reminded. And today, God wants to remind us, happy are you if you're saved. Happy art thou. Who is likened to thee, O people saved by the Lord? If we are saved, we should be happy. If we're not saved, we don't need to be happy. And we won't be truly happy. A reminder for God's people to be happy. Israel was to be an example of a people and what God intended for human beings to live like, to respect the laws of property and each other, your relationship between God and your fellow man, a way to live in a life and like decent human beings as that there are very few places in the world today that people are able to do that. And we're struggling in our country today to do that. But God said, Israel, here's my laws and statutes, and if you'll do these things and listen to me, you can be among all the people, shining light. And the ideal and the objective is here for you to live by these laws and statutes, and then other people will see this is indeed a better way to live. God's people are happy. But when God's people are not happy, then other people view us and say, why do I want to be like that? Those people are miserable. There was a time in Israel to where this work for to perfection, and that was during the reign of Solomon, for a brief period of history. Other than that, God's people just failed miserably. They had times of renewal and faith and peace and prosperity, but often it was short-lived, and sin and wickedness got in, and the people were miserable, and they were sold into captivity, and they struggled under persecution. You know, they just couldn't make it work. Because of their unfaithfulness. Not because of God's faithfulness. Because God is faithful. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, there is a brief picture of the reign of Solomon. Solomon was set up by David, his father. David done everything that he could to secure the nation. Security is not a problem. David had subdued all the enemies. They didn't have to spend a lot of money in war. We're spending a lot of money in this country on wars. You know, wars and wars and rumors of war and money. And it robs the local economies. And we're not able to use that wealth to help people who need a lot of help in our country. But anyhow, they didn't have that during the reign of Solomon. He had a peace, prosperity. He inherited wealth. God gave that to him because he asked for wisdom. He had wisdom and wealth. And he was a great designer and a great architect. And for a while, Israel work to perfection. And this is what God's vision was for Israel all the way through. But they failed. But for a brief moment, here's what it was. And it worked to perfection. Chapter 9 of 2 Chronicles, the Bible says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem and with a very great company of camels that bear spices, gold in abundance, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart." So other countries heard of the fame of Solomon and how the nation of Israel and Judea there in Jerusalem was prospering. They've fallen under good times. Everybody, essentially, we can say this is a period where everybody loved everybody. The economy was great. You had godly leadership. People were functioning by the laws and the statutes that God had given them. And guess what? It worked. It was working. And people heard about it. And the Queen of Sheba heard of that. She comes down there and people, "We want to see what y'all are doing." That's a tried and proven method, you know. When I enjoy visiting other churches on vacation to see what they're doing, you know, what are they doing that's working that maybe we can learn from. And so she comes with intent of, what are they doing here in this nation? And it's working. There's prosperity. Maybe we can learn and take back and implement some things that we learned from Solomon. And it says in verse 2, "And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not." The wisdom of God that he prayed for, he got. They had a wise king. They had a king who was godly at this time, that God had blessed. Leadership is critical, isn't it? "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built," whoa, it was impressive. The city of Jerusalem was impressive, the house that Solomon had built and the architecture and all of these things. And verse 4, "And the meat of his table and the sitting of the servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel." It wasn't casual. It wasn't casual Friday in Solomon's reign and the kingdom. When it was in the glory of its days, it was done up and done right. And yet Jesus said, "And Solomon, all his royal apparel, you know, the lily outshining. And their apparel, the cup barrels, the butlers, also their apparel, and his ascent had a certain grace about him, didn't he? He didn't just lob-lolly in. He didn't just lob-lolly in casually as he descended up and down from the house of God. Oh, he was dignified, and he was dressed up, and he was going before the Lord. You know, it was a very important time, you know. It wasn't no casual event. Solomon done it up and done it right. "And his ascent, which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in it." She was impressed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians over there in chapter 14, when it, you know, Paul had some problems in the church at Corinth, and one of those of many problems was their worship was out of order. Hey, everything, they just, it was very informal and very out of order. They was just doing this and that, and Paul says, whoa, "I love you people, love your zeal and how you're going out to worship God. But remember, when unbelievers come in among us, they're going to observe and they need to be moved to the Lord and to be somewhat impressed and falling down upon their knees and come to know the Lord, you know, because of the environment that you create there in the church. And he says, God is a God of order. Let all things be done in decency and in order. So Solomon knew that. And the Bible says when the Queen of Sheba saw him, those around him, they dressed up when they went to church. It was a special day. He carried himself and with a manner of grace, dignified, because it was a sacred time when we go before the Lord. Respect and honor, you know, all of these things. And Solomon had that wisdom, and he carried himself very graciously. There was no more spirit left in her. It's just, I guess you could say it took her breath away. She was awed by how Solomon presented himself and how he conducted his life every day and reigning in the kingdom, and especially when he went up into the house of God. And she said, listen to this, she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard of mine own land of thine, acts of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not their words until I," she said, "I really didn't believe it, until my eyes had seen it, and behold, the one half of thy greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame thereof." Half. The half that was told me. You know, it's more impressive than what they said. And listen to this part here. I read all this to tell you this. This is an observer from a foreigner who's come from afar to view God's people, their leadership, and see what's going on in this kingdom. "She determined, happy are thy men." Happy. Do you think that people are happy in our country today? Absolutely not. Our country is divided. And Jesus said, "A house divided or a kingdom against itself cannot stand." Cannot stand. People are not happy today. People are generally not happy. That's the world. That's not supposed to be the church. "Happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." There was no dissent. There was no political division. People were happy. They were together. They had it going on. "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord God, because thy God loveth Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice." Judgment and justice were prevailing that day in Israel. Now, and happy are the people as a result of it. Happy, happy. Happiness comes from the assurance of knowing that we are saved today. We're not going to find happiness in the world. We're not going to find it. There is nothing but division and fighting in the world. God's people, we are to find the foundation of our happiness is in the fact that knowing that we are saved. Doesn't, you know, no matter what comes, doesn't matter who gets elected president, who gets elected as our leaders, my happiness is not dependent upon that. It is dependent on the foundation. How can we be happy? You know, the world ought to look at us and say, "How can you be happy? Maybe the world around us is burning down." We can find some happiness and peace in the fact that we are saved. And that's God's faithfulness. It's not dependent upon us saving ourselves. We could not save ourselves. Happiness should come from the fact that we know that we are saved. And I believe the Bible teaches us that we can know. You know, it's not a, well, I hope that I'm saved. I hope when the time comes the Lord will find me faithful. I hope that maybe on that day there's so many people today. Well, I hope I've been a good person. You have not, by the way. I hope that I've done enough. You have not, and you cannot. Our salvation is in God's hands, in Jesus' faithfulness. The book of Ephesians tells the church and God's people here, Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." That is something to rejoice about and to be happy about. By grace. You know what grace is? Unmerited favor, a gift that God gives us. It's not something that we earned or deserved. It is something Jesus took upon Himself to take our sins on the cross and offer us the gift of life as a gift. Undeserving, based not on our faithfulness, but based upon His faithfulness. That's why our salvation is solid. You know, if it's based upon me, we say, well, right now I'm saved, but I don't know. I'm hoping I'll make it to the end. He is faithful. He is faithful. Over in the book of Romans, chapter number 5. The book of Romans, chapter number 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We have access to this grace through faith. We got to trust Him. Trust Him that He's able to do this for us. We have access unto this grace by faith. Wherefore we stand. We stand. We've been studying over there in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, Paul talking about the Christian in spiritual warfare, and over again, he said, hey, stand. Stand. The days are evil. We're up against a lot of evil and high places and darkness and all these things. Stand. Take another stand. We are called to stand, and we stand in His grace, folks, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can stand. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. How can God's people be happy in tribulation? That's trouble, what that is. First century Christians were martyred. Many of them died, glorying, happy. Church tradition says that St. Paul ran to the chopping block to be beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. That's not in the Bible. That's tradition in some history. How have God's people been able to maintain happiness in the midst of tribulation, you know? Because we remind ourselves, I'm happy and I'm saved. And I'm happy because I am saved. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The Holy Ghost lets us know that we are saved. We can know we are saved. After Jesus was crucified, the disciples were devastated, but yet Jesus gives them the commission to take the church and go worldwide with it. After that, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is given, and they do. But they found out pretty quick that there would be opposition. They were beaten, locked up, threatened. Most of them were martyred in due time. But on some of the early occasions, when they're doing battle against the religious leaders that crucified Jesus, they were locked up, beaten, and all these things. And over there in Acts chapter 5, and they're early into the thing here. Early. The church has blossomed. Thousands of people are being saved. But the religious leaders are not happy, and they order them. We are giving you an order to stop this. Do not preach in this name of Jesus anymore, or this is just a little bit of what you're going to get. They have them locked up there for a while. We're going to beat you and lock you up and threaten you. Lies here. And finally they agreed to let them go here. And they told them that, now you don't need to be preaching anymore in this name of Jesus. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 41 here and 2, it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." Wow. They are happy and rejoicing in the midst of tribulation there. "And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus." They didn't quit preaching. The government says, stop preaching in the name of Jesus, or worse things are going to come upon you. And they rejoiced. They had happiness, because the happiness they had didn't depend on outward circumstances. The happiness that they had came from the Lord, and knowing that they are saved. They're saved. Now we need to know that we're saved. That's a very tricky part of this thing. We need to have that down for sure. In 2 Timothy here, in chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, "For the which cause also I suffer these things." Paul, me suffering. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." And Paul said, I can be happy in this persecution because I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that I'm going to make it. You know, Paul didn't say, well, I hope I'm going to make it in somehow or another. But Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm saved, Paul said. I'm happy and I'm saved. And I'm confident that the Lord will do what he said he'd do. My salvation is secure in Jesus. He's able to keep what I committed to him against that day. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." That's God's promise to us. If we make it, if I can maintain and keep my part of this bargain, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." Happy and saved. I know I'm saved, and I don't have to worry about this world and what all's going on in the world. It'll get you down, you know. I don't have to watch the news. I try to watch as little of it as I possibly can. Whatever happens is out of my control. I just know that I'm saved, and I'm going to choose to try to be happy today. So God's people were told here in the book of Deuteronomy, And this should be us too. Reminding Israel, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved of the Lord. There's no other people on the face of this earth has a reason causing to be happy as you do, and that is because we're saved. Because eternity is waiting us. Now, if we're God's people and we have lost our happiness, you know, David had to pray to the Lord, restore unto me, what, the joy of thy salvation. Because he sinned, and sometimes we sin and come short of the glory of God, and we need to repent of that. But Peter also said over here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, he says, wherefore are given to us exceeding great promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Put that beside us. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten. If God's people are not happy, we've forgotten something. Peter says here, you know, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wow, we don't never want to forget that we've been saved. There was some discussion recently at Westside during the revival, and you know, some people get dementia and Alzheimer's. Those are terrible, terrible diseases. And some people make statements, well, I don't believe you'd ever forget your salvation. And be careful what you say. People can get in a bad shape. And you might. And this is not talking about people who are ill and going through those terrible diseases. But it's talking about well-being Christian people who choose to forget that they are saved. And when we do that, we lose the source and the foundation of our happiness. And Peter says, these people who lack these things are blind, cannot see, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall or fail, either one. Remember that we are saved. And the danger is when we forget about that, we're headed to trouble. So, are we happy today? Our happiness cannot depend upon present circumstances. There's always something to worry about. There's always something to worry about. Sickness, pain, family, friends, tragedy, world events happening that we have no control over. Our happiness cannot depend upon those things. It must depend upon our salvation. Happy. And we can be the happiest people in the world, not always happy about the things that are going on around us, but a sense of happiness that we can depend upon the salvation of God. It doesn't matter. Either way, we're going to be saved. I hope you know that today. And if you don't, you can. And my advice to you would be to seek the Lord while it is today. Today is the day of salvation. And if you have forgotten that, ask the Lord to restore what the joy of His salvation That's His salvation that He gives to us. And we can be happy in the Lord. The next time that you're not happy, say, "Why am I not happy? I am saved. Everything ain't going perfect in my life, but I am saved. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy." Brother Danny, get a song. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your salvation and for the basis of the happiness that we should have as God's people. I pray, Lord, if we have forgotten that and we don't think about Your salvation, Lord, that we would be reminded and to daily try to reflect upon that and being able to face the day before us, no matter what happens, I know I'm saved. And it's going to be okay with me. And I pray if anyone here today who is listening, who is not saved, that they would seek You, dear Lord, and know that they have access to this grace that You freely give simply by repenting and exercising faith in Jesus Christ. In His name we ask and amen. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to have a verse or two of invitation. If you're here today and you've not been saved, you can leave here today happy as we sing, Brother Danny.